What's her PO2 doing?
Coming up. Caught it in time.
We're gonna need another can of spray over here.
My God, what did they do to them?
It was the horse, I think.
Esme opened her eyes to see unhelmeted faces bent over her. She wanted to ask the logical question, but she would not ask that one.
We're in the shuttle again. Our targets are alive. No wounds taken in the shootout. We lost 2 dead, 8 with minor injuries. The station's pretty much gone, and there's a fight going on upstairs somewhere. And now that you're with us, we don't have to worry about you anymore. But I do have to do a mental status exam.
Esme took a deep breath, and only then realized that she still had something up her nose feeding her oxygen.
I'm fine. What else is going on?
She tried to sit up, but the medic pushed her back.
Not until we're sure of your blood gases. Your suit telemetry said you were out of air for about 2.5 minutes before we got you reconnected, and that's on the edge of the bad zone.
I'm fine.
No, you're not, but you will be when we're done with you.
The medic inserted a syringe into the IV line Esme had not noticed until then, and a soft, gauzy curtain closed between Esme and the rest of the universe. Baron had the uncomfortable honor of observing the whole collapse of the simple, straightforward extrication from the bridge of Jurfalcon. Most of the carnage had already happened by the time Shrike's signal reached them, and his grandmother ordered the rest of the task force to jump in. They popped out less than 30 light seconds from the planet, only 10 from the nearest enemy ship. Jurfalcon's first salvo took it out. The cruiser's massive energy weapons burned through its shields in less than a second.
Not used to facing real firepower.
Captain, Shrike has recovered 1 shuttle. Casualties.
Please, please, let it not be Esme.
Baron clenched his hand on the ring he had bought for her.
Firing solution on 2nd enemy ship. Red for Shrike.
Hold!
Navarino got it!
Navarino's clear shot at the 2nd enemy ship had blown it as cleanly as their own had the first.
3rd target running. Headed for jump point.
That would be the job of Applejack, the cleanup light cruiser. Baron watched Scan intently as the enemy ship headed toward the minefield Applejack had spent the past 6 hours sewing around the jump corridor. Hazel had seen the bulkhead peeling back and felt a moment of complete panic.
Not now.
But someone's gloved hand caught the bar at the end of her gurney and wrapped a quick line to it, then secured the line to a stick patch. But when she looked, she could see a tumbling, receding shape that had to be Brunn and someone holding her.
Are you all right?
Yes, but what about Brunn?
We'll get them back, don't you worry. And we'll get you into a shuttle.
Yeah, before this place breaks up completely.
Hazel was passed from one set of hands to another, each carefully attaching her to another set of secured lines before releasing the first, and then finally through the cargo hatch of a shuttle. People moved past her, all busy, all doing something she hoped would rescue Brunn. She had heard of Fleet SAR all her life, but she'd never seen it in action. She had no idea that SAR teams wore black pea suits that looked like space armor from story cubes. She'd expected them to wear bright colors with flashers or something to make them easier to see.
Hey there, can you tell us your name again?
That was a blonde woman with sleepy green eyes.
Hazel Takaris, of the Elias Madero.
Her throat closed on all the things she had meant to say, that she'd rehearsed in her head so many times.
We're going after Brunn now. There's a beacon on the officer with her. We can't lose her.
Hazel felt better, but she could sense more tension in the people around her. Something was still wrong.
What is it?
Nothing to worry about. Only this was supposed to be a quick, simple extrication, and we didn't know about you.
I'm sorry.
Don't you be sorry. It's those idiots who planned it who need to be sorry.
The woman looked aside suddenly, and Hazel turned her head to see what it was. The cargo hatch gaped again, and 3 more black-suited figures swam in, pushing another attached to Brunn's gurney.
Hatch closed! Air up! Air up!
Patch it into the suit, damn it!
Hazel could just see Brunn's turquoise suit. Surely she had air from the suit tanks. The others cut off her view.
Air pressure's numb!
Then they moved, coming past her with the black-suited figure. 2 of them stripped off suit gloves and opened the other's black suit with some tool, and it flipped back like a beetle's carapace. Hazel stared. It was space armor. Inside, a limp figure. She could see a pale face, slack-mouthed. Busy arms, hands, and then someone tapped her shoulder.
You don't want to watch it. Gets messy.
And since they're working on her, they asked me to do an initial assessment on you. Any trouble breathing?
No, but...
You want to open your helmet? We can talk off the comms that way. Save interference.
Hazel realized she could reach up and open her faceplate. The woman had opened hers as well and was folding back her gloves.
You got any broken bones you know of?
No. Is Brune all right?
She's fine. She's got her own team working on her.
But who was that?
Lieutenant Sweeza. Just a little hypoxia. Don't fret.
She wished people would quit telling her not to worry. She glared at the green-eyed woman.
I'm not a child, you know?
You sure look like one.
Well, I'm...
She wasn't even sure how old she was, or how long she had been a captive. At least a year, because Brun had those babies.
I'm 17.
Huh? Well, I'm 38, and my name is Methlin Meharry. Want to tell me how you got away?
I was coming back from market.
Hazel had gotten as far as cutting off her hair with the long knives when she heard a bustle of activity from the people working on the officer, on Lieutenant Sweeza.
She coming around?
Any minute now.
One of the others came over to Hazel.
All right, let us professionals at her. Let's get you out of that pea suit and see what shape you're in. You be gentle now. You should talk, considering your rep.
I could get out of this myself.
But the medic reached through the sleeves to unfasten her pea suit.
Yes, but we want you in the tent in case the shuttle has pressure problems. Unlikely, but it's a zoo out there.
The medic peeled back her pressure suit section by section.
My God, what did they do to them?
I think it was the horses. We rode horses all night.
Horses? We send a task force halfway across the cluster and they're getting you out on horses?
It makes you really sore. And the clothes were stiff.
Oh, barbarians. Should have spaced the whole bunch.
Shrike scooped up the shuttle, and medics moved Hazel and Brun into the spacious sick bay. The green-coated medic peeled away the gurney's tent and draped a gown over her.
Regen for you. You'll feel a lot better after an hour or two in the tank.
Hazel wasn't about to argue. She saw that Brun was being led to the other tank. She settled into the warm, soothing liquid and dozed off. Brun was furious. They were talking over her head again as if she weren't there, and no one had thought to get her a voice synthesizer. 3 hours aboard, and they continued to treat her like an idiot child.
She'll need another 5 hours of regen for those abrasions, and I still think we should order a parasite scan.
Brun reached out, caught hold of his uniform, and yanked hard. He staggered, then turned.
Are you all right? All right?
Brun shook her head and mimed writing a message.
Oh. You want to say something?
Yes, she wanted to say something. Something very firm. Instead, she smiled and nodded, and mimed writing again. Finally, someone handed her a pad. How's Esme? She wrote.
Lieutenant Sweeza is fine. Don't worry. You won't have to see her again. It was strictly against orders.
What?
I want to see her.
That's not a good idea. You weren't supposed to see her at all. We understand how traumatic it was.
Brun underlined the words, I want to see her, and shoved the pad back at him.
But it was all a mistake.
Saving my life was a mistake.
That came out in a scrawl he had to struggle to read.
No, her being involved. Your father said under no circumstances should you have to see her, after what she said about you.
Carefully calm, she printed her message. I don't care what my father said. Esme saved my life. I want to see her. Now.
But you can't. You need more time in region. And besides, what will the captain say?
Brun erupted from the bed, ignoring the remaining twinges and slapping aside the tentative grab of the medic. Another medic picked up the injector of sedative spray. With a kick she had practiced in secret for months, she smashed it from his hand. It dribbled down the bulkhead. She pointed a minatory finger at the medics, picked up the pad, and tapped the word, now.
Good to see you up.
Brun poised to attack, then realized it was Methlin Meharry, whose expression didn't vary as she took in the two medics, the smashed injector, and Brun, with the short hospital gown flapping about her thighs.
Giving you a hard time, were they? All right, boys, out.
The medics looked at each other, and Meharry, and wisely chose withdrawal. Brun held out the pad.
You want to see Sweeza? Why? I thought she trashed you at Copper Mountain, upset you so you ran away from home.
Brun shrugged and tapped the pad again.
Yeah, well, she did save your life. And you saved hers, I guess. Or helped. Your father thought seeing her would be a terrible trauma. If it's not, well, it's your decision. You might want to put on some clothes, though. Unless you want her to come down here.
Brunn didn't. She was more than ready to get out of sickbay. Resourceful as ever, Meharry quickly found Brunn a ship suit that almost fit. It wasn't quite as soft as the ship suits Hazel had found on the station, but it fitted her better.